Blog Talk Radio.
You know, it's that time of year, soccer, music, school.
That's really what's up. It's school time. They're going back. And you mommies have got to lose your mind.
You don't even know the half of it.
What is school life like out there on the left coast? What happens with them children's out there? Has your children actually gone back to school today? I mean, this week?
No. They are scheduled to go back on the 4th. So we've got another week and a few days. But, you know, you got that last minute. Did I get all the school supplies? Oh, shoot, I bought shoes 2 months ago and her foot's already grown, that kind of stuff. But soccer has definitely started, and music has definitely started. They start sports practice and marching band and all that stuff in August, like a whole month before school starts.
There ain't nothing wrong with it.
No, ain't nothing wrong with it.
My son went back to school yesterday, Monday.
Oh, wow. Does he get out in early June?
I'm not sure. To me, it seems early because when I was growing up, we knew it was time to go back because we had to watch the Jerry Lewis telethon, and we knew.
Right. And wait a minute. How about I was watching that starting at the age of 7, and I used to call in and don't.
And pledge money you didn't have?
Yeah. And they would send me the little thing, you know. I didn't know what I was doing, and my mother never caught on. But I think probably $1 million of pledged money must have come from my mother's house because I just I pledged 911,000.
I hope you're happy with yourself that there's some children who are not walking today because you didn't send in the money you owe the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Well, you know, though, it was not like a prank call or anything. I really, really thought I didn't understand what pledge meant. You know, I just would call them and, you know, do my part and give them numbers, and then they would send me the little ticket, and I didn't understand it. Hell, I was 7, 8, 9. But now as an adult, I'm completely mortified that I did that, even though there was no malicious intent on my part.
Well, you know, and I get that there was no malicious intent, but like you said, now you're older. Don't you feel like, oh, my God, I owe these people money? Because I called, and that tally board went up because of my call.
No, I don't feel shit.
We used to watch. And we would want to call, but we knew better not to call.
I had time on my hands.
first of all, it occurred to me quickly that we wouldn't be calling Vegas or wherever Jerry Lewis was doing the show. We'd be calling the local people. And I didn't want to call if I wasn't going to talk to Jerry Lewis. I didn't want to call and talk to somebody sitting on the phone. I wanted to call with an opportunity to talk to Jerry Lewis. And then my cousin and I,
my cousin and I,
who grew up like brother and sister, we would try to see who could stay up the longest, you know, with Jerry, so we could go overnight. And we could stay up to, you know, 4, 5, 6, or 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'd get mad, like, wait a minute. I'm up watching this, and, like, Jerry hadn't been on the screen in, like, 4 or 5 hours. Where's Jerry?
Wait, and remember just those just straight, like, booty performances. I mean, if you go onto YouTube and look at, like, old Jerry Lewis telethons from the 70s and 80s, there was some crap.
Yes.
But
yes.
He was so into it.
Well, yeah, we'd have to watch. You have to watch Jerry. Watch him run around, act stupid.
Yeah, but you know what? Jerry Lewis is very good for kids, but once you become an adult, with the exception of Cinderella, you're like, what the hell was I watching? I'm not even feeling this.
Yeah, when you get mad, well, I know we would get mad when they would cut to, like, again, cut to the local, and they would show, like the local 7-Elevens had given, like, $3,200, like, how are you going to get $3,200? Because you don't, you know, when you're 6 and 7, don't understand math on that scale, how telephones are worked out on that scale. How are you going to give $3,000? And the people, the 7-Eleven that Jerry's talking to didn't give him $4 million. You guys suck.
Right, you know, like, right. And how come y'all don't have Bing Crosby and Bob Hope?
Right.
And where's the Jackson 5 at? And I don't see Marie Osmond. Or Donnie.
Mm-hmm. And I remember getting, as I got older, I do remember, like, wanting to go, when I say older, like 9, 10, wanting to go to the local studio with the hope of seeing Jerry Lewis, not understanding, again, that Jerry was not here.
And see, I remember our local telecast was just like all the news personalities. Didn't know, but I didn't want to see Kathy Griffith or Margaret Radford. Now, that's a blast from the past. If anybody is from San Diego listening in, I just said Margaret Radford, who hasn't been on television probably since 1986.
Yeah, and that just went right through me. I'm like, who?
Well, you know what? Margaret Radford was our black newscaster, and I had never seen a black woman on television that up to that point. She was the first black person I remember seeing on television, black woman. I remember Sanford and Son, and I vaguely remember That's My Mama, but like around 1974, 75, it was all about Margaret Radford.
No, no. We didn't have a Margaret Radford. Only local personality that we had that really turned out to be anything was this chick named, oh, my God, Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, have you seen that movie called Anchorman?
Yeah.
Well, he was based on Harold Green, who was our newscaster, so I see your Oprah and raise one Anchorman.
Yes, I think I still win.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, pretty much.
Unless you had an Anchorman named Paris or London, England, or I don't know,
Martin
Rome,
Luther.
Italy.
And you know what? Now that we're talking about this, you know what else I used to do? Now, I did get in trouble for this. I used to order the TV Guide because remember, they used to have this insert. I would order magazines because all the magazines had inserts. I think it's criminal because I know what my handwriting looked at like 8. I think it's criminal that they went ahead and processed all those magazines. But my mother wore my behind out because, and I thought it was free. She looked up and they had sent trial versions of the TV Guide, People Magazine, Us, Time, and Newsweek. And in my name, my mother wore my behind out.
See? I you know, again, this was, since I'm significantly older than you, this was in, you know, like the 70s, early 70s. If anything came in the house in my name, there was a problem. You know, so let a magazine come in with my name on the label.
Well, see, it was a problem in my house, too. But my mother had never thought that I would be dumb enough to do all that stuff. So she never had the preemptive conversation with me because she got magazines. Magazines came to the house in her name. And I just thought it was just something normal, you know. Oh, magazines come. Yeah, learn the hard way.
No. If my name was on anything, it was going to flow down and there was going to be trouble. It was going to be trouble.
Well, like I said,
mad.
I learned that eventually.
I got mad because my stepdad at one point had forgotten to pay or maybe just refused to pay for his Sports Illustrated, and they cut it off. So he put a subscription in my name, and they came. I was like, ooh, I'm getting Sports Illustrated. It must be free. And then he would say, no, I ordered those, and then take them to work, and I'd never see them. I'm like, but they're in my name. No, sorry. And I remember distinctly him saying, did you pay for these? No. And then think about it. No, Ninja, you didn't pay for them either. That's why they're coming
in
my name.
Your name. Was the electricity in your name, too?
Oh, God. Remember those speeches? What do you mean you want to watch what you want to watch on television? Did you buy the television?
Right.
Are you paying for the electricity for the television to come
on? Oh, yeah. Close the refrigerator. What you trying to take a picture?
Right. You don't know what you want before you go in the refrigerator?
We could talk for hours about growing up in my mama's household that had blankets up to the curtains and towels up to the door jamb to keep the heat in. And the toothpaste that she had scissored up aside so we could get every last drop. And the water she had put in the ketchup to stretch it.
Look,
ooh,
I'm
Lord.
Not even going to lie to you. To this day, it aggravates me if someone uses toothpaste and doesn't squeeze it from the bottom of the tube up. Don't throw away toothpaste that's all scrunched up all in the middle and there's toothpaste left in the end. And you better work that tube.
That drives me crazy too. But you know what? I will throw away a tube of toothpaste with a quarter left in it just because I'm so traumatized from having it slid up the side where you just take your toothbrush and just rub it against the tin and hope you get a drop and my mother will come out. You better get a toothpick. There's still some in there. I will throw a half a tube of toothpaste away just because.
You're right.
And
you're right.
How about I didn't know that spaghetti came with meat until I was like 11. In my house, spaghetti was noodles and sauce. No meat sauce, just sauce.
Wow.
And my mother will deny this because she denies it now. She'll deny it the day she dies. But we got banned they would, the kids would come to our house. I had to stop them from TPing our house because one year my mother gave out walnuts. Another year she gave out pennies.
Hey.
I swear she had gone to the dentist and gave out little tiny toothbrushes and toothpaste one year. And we were like, what is wrong with you? Are you trying to get our asses kicked?
Right. We got to go to school and deal with
this. Right. We got to live in this neighborhood. What is wrong with you? So she finally started giving out good candy when we were like 14 or 15. I think my brother came home with a black eye when somebody beat him with a candy, a pillowcase full of candy.
This is what y'all should be giving out.
Right? And then she got it.
Yeah, we definitely didn't want to be known as a, you know, and we would always, I remember being a kid, and you knew the house that really like went all out for Halloween and really had like a whole bunch of stuff hanging and all that. And then, you know, everyone wanted to go to that house until I guess we were like 13, 14, and my age, 13, 14, that's when they started, you know, news came on about people putting razor blades and apples and pins and cookies and all sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Right. And then it would freak out everybody. And you know, then we realized that house that went all out for Halloween, they were the ones that gave out the cookies and the apples. And they didn't give away, like, wrapped bought at the store candy. And then you wouldn't be allowed to go to their house. In hindsight, you know, those people were really just, like, really into Halloween, probably. And,
yeah.
And they become
like my mother, who is passing. I like my mother who's passing out walnuts and peanuts. Shame. And she denies it.
Yeah, because
anyway,
they know now.
Life with my mother was something else. I mean, oh, Lord. We had, at one point, we had government cheese. Now, I will say this. Government cheese makes the best cheese, grilled cheese sandwiches. That's if you can actually slice the cheese. that thin white bread that just would just fall apart. And then she had a, the church had given out like dry milk where you had to just like add water to it. And that lasted until the whole house got the shit. Never had powdered milk again. Especially because we had to blow up her bathroom on top of ours. So that ended that real fast. Oh, Lord. And that peanut butter where the oil with the big old, like, 5-gallon peanut butter container where the oil would just rest on top. Ever see that? And,
yeah.
And the bread was so thin that if you got a big old thing of crunchy, you would just rip the bread when you tried to spread it. And then that hard, they call it butter, but I think it was just lard that they had dyed yellow. Whew. Lord.
I would love to see if there was what it was, expiration date on that stuff. Because since it was government surplus, and I'm
sure
it was.
Tell you what the expiration date was. I'm convinced the expiration date was like somewhere around 1942. I think we were eating the surplus from World War II. I am not kidding. I know. Maybe it was surplus in the Vietnam War. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it was like grade C.
I just remember, like, I think my father's parents, my grandmother tried to make macaroni and cheese out of the cheese. And that just wasn't happening.
She's a brave woman. She's a
so we just
brave
had some boiled
woman.
Macaroni with our dinner. Because the cheese wouldn't melt.
Brave woman.
Those were the days.
I remember them hard beans they would have, give you, I think, I don't even know if there's an expiration date for beans, but if there is one, it was past its sell-by date, because you'd have to go through and you'd have to sort the beans. Oh, my God, how much did I love that? Going through and sorting the beans so you don't have any racks and you don't, you know, they aren't all shriveled up. Man, you'd have to soak those beans. Normally, you soak beans overnight. Mm-mm. You'd have to soak those beans for like 3 days.
You know, I would imagine if my mother is listening in on this broadcast today, she will call in if I tell this story. So I'm going to tell it and hope she's not listening. But a big thing for us was my stepfather's mother made chili. Okay? And since she lived in Philly, we only got to get it when we went up to see her. And usually that was in April for the Penn Relays track meet, or when she would come down for the holidays. So my mom decided she was going to start making chili. She was going to start making my stepdad's mother's chili. And she got everything right, but she forgot to soak the beans. So she bought the beans, the dry beans now. This is before the days, the only beans we had in a can was Campbell's baked beans. So she went and bought the bag of beans and added that.
Oh, please. You just took me back with Campbell's. My mother used to have Campbell's and then Frankie beans, cut up little hot dogs and put in them.
Yep. So my mother made this chili and didn't soak the beans. So, when the chili came out, it smelled delicious. You hear me? It smelled delicious, just like Nana made. And then eating it, ground beef, the chopped onions and green peppers, seasoning, tasted wonderful. Then you get a bean in that spoonful, and it was like biting a pebble. And I remember, right? I remember sitting at the table, spitting beans, tink, 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 into the bowl, tink, tink. And my stepdad to this day tells that story and cracks up. And will crack up saying how good the chili was till you start biting into the bean. She didn't know. My mom was young. She didn't grow up eating chili. So she gets a pass.
My mom was a pretty good cook. My mom didn't make those kinds of mistakes. My mom was a pretty good cook, and my mother used to get down. We didn't get poor until my mother got divorced. But prior to that, you know, with the exception of her spaghetti, her meatless spaghetti, we ate pretty good. And it was, you know, when she got divorced, and she didn't go on welfare. We didn't have to rely on state aid, except for we went to food banks occasionally. And, you know, got those bruised apples. Ugh, I hate bruised apples. It was a passion.
I've never heard of bruised apples. What the heck is a bruised apple?
it's an apple that's bruised. You've never been into an apple and it's brown, and you know, it's got a soft spot and it's brown.
Yeah, you throw the whole thing away. You actually didn't buy those. Those are the apples you didn't buy. You didn't actually buy those. Y'all bought the beat up apples?
No. When we went to the food bank, when we went to the church,
they gave away those apples?
Yeah, because you know what? You just cut away the bruised part and the rest of the apple's good.
I guess I'm bougie because though we didn't have to go to the food bank, let me get an apple that had a brown spot on it. I remember we used to cut away the brown spot when, like, someone caught us with the apple with the spot on it. But if we could get away with it, we were hucking that apple away. A whole apple with just a brown spot. It's like a banana. Don't let a banana get a brown spot on the peel, because that whole thing has to get thrown away, doesn't it?
No, honey. Child, please. Nowadays,
unless there
was
an adult around that saw you.
I'll throw the whole thing away nowadays. But back then, you let my mother catch you throwing away a whole apple because of a brown, because of a bruise. Your behind will be bruised. She would just cut that brown part off and slice that apple and give it right back to you. Now,
yeah,
it's
see, that's
not
why
like,
you didn't throw it in the trash.
Not,
you threw it away.
No, honey. Not with Lynette, Eagle Eye Lynette around. And, I mean, don't misunderstand me. It's not like they gave you a bag and you looked at it and it looked like something that Snow White was eating. It wasn't obvious that they were damaged. Just, you know, you pick it up, you get home, and then there's a soft spot, and you bite into it, and you go, and then slice it away.
Hey, look, I can, you know, I hate to say this, but I can top that. Remember you would get a piece of bread, had some mold on it, like, ew, my grandmother would just cut away the mold, cut away the part with the mold in it, and continue to eat your sandwich.
See, now, that my mom wouldn't do. She had her limitations. My mother had her clear limitations on that one. Ooh, and you know what? She had to buy the bargain food. I can't tell you how many times we had liver and onion and gravy and Brussels sprouts. I can't even look at Brussels sprouts. I can't even look at liver. It was just, and the one thing my mother would splurge on was like A1 sauce. Child, please, the only way I could eat that liver is if I just drowned it in A1 sauce.
I see. I loved liver growing up, but you can't put it in the gravy. I'll eat liver today, but you can't put it in the gravy. You cook it, I have to eat it like that with the sautéed onions. I love it. And I know when my stepbrother, his circumstances growing up were different than mine until he came to live with us. Excuse me. And he had never eaten liver. So, like, my mother would make enough liver for everybody, and then I would have a few slices that didn't get put in the gravy because I didn't like my liver in the gravy. And this child, God love him, got a piece of liver on his plate and said, tasted it and went, I don't like liver. And wouldn't have to eat it. But it wouldn't be the liver that was in the gravy. It would be a piece of my non-gravy liver. So I would eat my, you know, and then I didn't want the gravy litter because I was bougie. I didn't want the gravy litter. And the only other more liver I could have was sitting on his plate that he wasn't eating. Like, you know what? I want some more liver. Look, are you at your computer? Hello? Are we having technical difficulties?
Oh, sorry.
I apologize.
My chin had muted the phone. My chin muted the phone, sorry.
You and your chin.
Oh, my goodness, my chin muted the phone, sorry.
You and that chin.
me and my Jay Leno chin.
Are you on your computer?
No, I am actually at the elementary school dropping my daughter off at soccer.
Okay. So we all know you drive a soccer mom vehicle.
And I drive it at 90 miles an hour, what? While I'm bumping Snoop Dogg.
But I didn't know you actually took your child to soccer. I thought you were a soccer mom that took your child to softball. You're actually a soccer mom who takes your child.
I am a soccer mom and a softball mom and a swim mom and a gymnastics mom and a track mom and a marching band mom. So right now it's soccer season. And then in a couple months, she wants to pick up basketball, so there'll be basketball season, and then we'll go into softball season and track.
Wow. Yeah, I happen to think soccer moms are hot. That's just me.
You know I'm a MILF.
Yeah. It's hard to be a MILF when you're only 25, 26 years old.
You know?
I'm kind of thinking you're trying to eat your cake and have it too.
I'm a young mother. What can I say? But my husband is on his way to tag team me out, though. We got this down to a science.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm saying that.
You know my theme song. It's Janet Jackson's "You Want This," or is it Elton John's? Or is it Elton John's "The Bitch Is Back"? It's one or the other. I can't remember.
I thought it was being that you drive a soccer mom vehicle. Your theme song was "Pull Up to the Bumper, Baby."
Now, if you let my brother tell it, it's "Short People Ain't Got No Reason to Live." That's what he says my theme song is.
All right, so now that we've gotten our crazy silliness out of the way.
Indeed.
Let's talk about America's crazy silliness.
Whew. And they have been, it has been silly. It's silly season all over again.
Okay, but to be fair, they're silly, and then there's Miley Cyrus silly.
You know what? I am so, so disgusted. Because here's the deal. You know, my daughter watched Hannah Montana. I watched Hannah Montana. But I have not been critical of the smoking and the drinking and the bong hits and, you know, the video of her twerking and wearing, you know, these little scantily clad outfits. I have been, not that my opinion matters to her, you know, I have shielded my daughter away from it because she doesn't need to see that, but I have been, I won't say okay with it in an encouraging way. I've just been like, you know what, she's 20, she's 21, you know, we all go through this. Where, you know, as young women, let's get married right out of high school. But, you know, when we're sowing our wild oats and exploring and trying to figure out who we are and just pushing those boundaries as we become adults and, you know, or near adults. So, you know, I understood what she was doing, and I felt that the only difference between, you know, her and some of my girlfriends when I was her age is none of the stuff that we did, except for Las Vegas, ended up on film. We didn't have a whole world looking at us as we were trying to find our way in the world. But that shit she did last night, or Sunday night, unacceptable, young lady. Unacceptable. I am grossed out. I am upset. And it wasn't for any real purpose. I mean, somebody was like, oh, well, remember when Madonna did Truth or Dare? But you know what? That had some artistic purpose. This was just being nasty. And you know what? That man is married. That man is married. And I know that he was participating. but you know what? She should have had a common sense. Don't be, you know, I was in there, Pop, come get your man. Come get your man. You know what?
Okay. Okay. Let me just say, I did not watch the VMAs, even though a lot of people called me and asked me to do so. And I was like, no, because I don't watch any of the video, because I'm old. It doesn't do anything for me. I know people older than me, but I don't. So I didn't see the performance. I've just seen, like, all the media fallout since. But I understand that from a publicity standpoint, she did what she did so that we're still talking about it today. But I don't get it. So
she didn't have to go that far.
Yeah, okay. Well, but I've asked for younger people who like know what they're talking about to come in and offer something in this. So with that in mind, I'd like to offer a younger perspective on the Miley Cyrus thing and the whole Hannah Montana and the Taylor Swift. So, with that being said, Nessa.
Yes.
Hey, Nessa.
Hey.
Y'all do this, because I am out of this. I don't know anything.
Okay. I watched the whole show, but the thing with Miley Cyrus, I really think that not only is she, you know, trying to find herself, but it doesn't necessarily help when you have others kind of amping her up. And what I mean by that is if you've heard, I know you guys know who Jay-Z is, right?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
Okay.
He's one of those
Jay-Z,
black performer thing guys, right?
He's a rapper. Come on now.
He knows who Sean Carter is. He's being stupid.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
No,
Sean Carter, that was that movie by Disney that didn't do any good.
Right. That one.
Right. Exactly. So he, on his, actually, I think it's his new album on one of his songs, he has a lyric where he says that Miley is still twerking. So not only do you have some of these rappers mentioning her name, I kind of think it went to her head a little bit, and she went a little overboard. Now, Robin Thicke's wife is severely pissed off because it wasn't so much of her, I think it was a little bit of her grinding on him, but then she took her hand and she had touched his groin area.
Right. See,
so
that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. She took it to a whole nother level.
And you know what else was another level? When she was taking that foam finger and thrusting it between her crotch. That was vulgar. She could have continued dancing around him and whatnot, but the minute she stopped in front of him, bent over, and was twerking against his penis, his groin area,
right,
that's when somebody needed to snatch her.
And exactly that. I mean, and my whole thing is like, and I was sitting here watching, as I was watching the whole thing, I'm like, did they not do, what do you call it, where you do it, you kind of perform it way before you do it? Like, did you not rehearse this? Was this planned? And I'm saying this is more, I don't know what her problem is, but this is not trying to seek attention. Did you see the shorts that she had on, Yale? It was
She's engaged too.
Who's engaged?
Who?
His brother, the one that's in Hunger Games.
Wait a minute, Miley Cyrus is engaged to which one of her cousins? What was it?
No, Hemsworth. They've been dating. They may be off, but they've been dating for like 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean, she's Miley Cyrus. She's got to be dating a cousin, because
you know. Shut up.
See, nobody's talking about incest on the show. You're going a little too far now.
Well, no. I mean, she is a country singer, right? Isn't she?
I don't know what, is that considered pop? I don't think that's really country that she's doing now. I know
right.
the song is like,
I think it's some new hybrid of country and pop, where it's a country song, but it's got enough elements in pop that it could be played on the pop radio, because, you know, it still has this. But I tell you, that's what I'm saying. You know what? I was okay with her strutting around in her underwear. It ain't nothing that Madonna ain't never done. She could have French kissed a girl. I wouldn't have blinked. She could just all the little dancing around. She could have just even twerked. And I would have been like, whatever. But when she got up and you know what? He had on that horrible stripe. Yes, I do believe I saw Little Robin at attention. I do believe I did.
I thought, you know, and I looked at the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, is he catching an erection off of that? Oh, really?
As a man, I'd like to say, even though it was Miley Cyrus, and even though what passed for her butt looked like something that you would flip and add syrup to.
Right, exactly.
You give enough attention to Mr. Happy, and you will get...
you'll get a reaction.
Yeah.
You will get a reaction. But, I mean, you know, I think, you know, besides the fact that I felt that, you know, it was vulgar, she needed to maintain her boundaries. You do not do that to another woman's husband.
Period, point blank.
She could have bent over in front of him, but given, you know, several inches of space, I still would have been like, all right now, Miley. But she wasn't touching. She was touching another woman's man. And not in something that was rehearsed like some video. Because while we're speaking of Robin, I am not happy with the Blurred Line video. The unrated
version. I love the Blurred Line video.
It's so stupid, first of all. That dumb model, she has no rhythm. The music's on the 1-2, she's on the 5-7.
Oh, you think she's there to dance in tune with the music?
As a wife, I had a problem with that video because, you know, she put the feet on his face and she's rubbing all against him. But it was her. He's not my husband. I'm sure his wife knew what was going on. But that stuff on the VMA, no, absolutely not.
I thought he got permission to do the video from Paula.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, I assume so. Even though, as a wife, I find it tasteless and I don't like it, I would have a problem with it because it's a video. I'm sure that they had the storyboards and the concept and everything, and she knew what was happening going in, and that's between she and he. However, that shit with Miley Cyrus, no. Mm-mm. Nope. And I would be having a discussion with Robin.
Yeah, because you know what? He could have backed up. He could have.
He
I
could
agree.
Have backed up.
He could have backed up. You're right. He could have. He could have. He stood right there.
Right? He could have backed up.
I'm going to go
even
old school on both of you all.
Even if he was caught off guard, he could have backed up. And speaking of Robin Thicke, we were having this discussion outside of here. I've been a Robin Thicke fan since 2002 when he was this scruffy-looking white boy with long, Kurt Cobain grungy hair, riding a BMX and jeans, wearing jeans and tennis shoes, because I thought, wow, he looks like that, but the soulful music is coming out of this guy that looks like he's all Seattle grunge. So I didn't jump on the bandwagon back with Lost Without You, and I was happy that he cleaned up. I was like, oh, he is cute. But he had on his suit, but he still had on tennis shoes, he still had on this T-shirt, and there still was some of Robin in there. But with Blurred Line, this image that they're marketing him with is driving me nuts. They've got him like some type of Hugh Hefner Playboy type thing, and I object. And last night, Sunday night was the culmination of that.
I'm not doing it.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Well,
I'm losing respect. I'm losing respect for him because the image they're creating for him as this, you know, man who's got all, you know, I'll take this girl, this girl. No, you keep walking. You come over here. I want number 7, number 8 can go. Let's all get high and go have sex. And you know, he and his wife have been together. He and Paula have been together. He's been married. He's been with a black woman since he was 16. And he's like 36, 37. That is the love of his life. And I have always appreciated him for that. Not just being, you know, with a black woman, but being with a woman from the get. You know, that kind of love, that high school sweetheart. I have always respected that. But this shit that they're pulling right now, I'm like, he's losing his way. He is forgetting that he has a wife and a child at home. Or his image is forgetting that he has a wife and a child at home, and that shit with Miley Cyrus didn't help it. And while we're on the VMAs, I'm sorry, I'm ranting because, you know, I was lamenting a couple years ago about the state of black music, and I was personally sad that, quote-unquote, today's R&B that I could stomach was all by white artists. I mean, at the time, my favorite artists were Justin Timberlake, Robin Thicke, Mariah Carey, who's half, Christina Aguilera. I wouldn't call Kelly Clarkson. She's not R&B by any stretch of the imagination, but I like her pop style. And I was like, you know what? I can't get with Trey Songz. I can't, you know, I'm always down for Mary J. That's my girl. That's my road dog. But I just couldn't get into, you know, Mario and Trey Songz, you know, all that, you know, I'm going to make you scream to the neighbors here. You know, it just was too much for me. And maybe it was I was turning into an old woman. Who knows?
Yes.
So anyway,
yes.
When Justin Timberlake got on the stage, I was like, hey, JT, that's my boy. You know, JT, for real. And then I realized, what, none of his backup dancers of color except for one Asian cat. I didn't see his backup singers, so I don't know what color they were. And the musicians didn't appear to be of color either. And I was sitting there, and I got sad because I was like, here is somebody who is like, they called him the president of pop, whatever, but who has this R&B flavor, and it there's not an ounce of color on that stage. How did it happen that I'm listening to R&B music and there's not one person of color? I don't understand.
Well,
you know, like, when did that happen?
I think part of your problem is you don't realize that his backup singers were in sync. So.
Oh, right.
Wait
you
a
know
minute.
What I'm saying, though? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
you didn't realize that was in sync when they got on the stage?
No, I knew it.
Okay. But I see what you're saying because I noticed with Bruno Mars, his whole band is predominantly black. And when I noticed that, I actually fell in love with that, you know. But I don't really think that JT is really looking at it like that. I don't think he does, to be honest with you.
I don't think he does either. I think.
Yeah.
And let me just say this before we go there, because we are going there. I feel us going there, and I don't have a problem going there. But one of the things I want to say about this whole subject is, to jump back on what Kamal was saying at first, I'm not sweating Robin Thicke's image, because I think it's, like they said, the evolution of Robin Thicke. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw the video of this performance and him in that suit was, okay, he's going through some stuff like David Bowie went through some stuff, and then David Bowie became the White Duke. And I know that's before your time, Vanessa, and I'm probably thinking Kamal was, you know, going by her age scale, was somewhere either between the age of 3 and 20 when this happened. But
you said Duke, what?
David Bowie went through the White Duke stage.
Oh, hell.
When he did the, put on the red shoes and danced the blues. You know, I think this is just a phase. But with that being said, I think all of Robin Thicke's most recent successes have come in collaboration with Pharrell. And I used to like Pharrell a few years ago, and then it seemed like he disappeared off the face. And now every time I see a video or listen to a song, there's some Pharrell influence in it, or he's in the video. And he's all in Blurred Lines. He's all in Daft Punk music, and his influence is there. So I'm pretty
I feel that Robin earned his Black Street cred, honestly.
Oh, he did. Oh, no question. He did.
Because
when
I
first
really
heard Bringing Sexy Back,
Playboy thing.
Well, I just think it's a phase. I think he's just going through a phase for this album, just like a lot of them do. But that being said, I don't think Miley Cyrus is going through any phase. I think she's just been playing Lost Her Mind. Not like she really had much to deal with, because I watched Hannah Montana once with my son, and I went, oh, okay, all right. So TV for children today makes Gilligan's Island seem like Masterpiece Theater. But
you know what, though? I didn't know that Paula was mad.
Oh, yeah.
But Miley better watch it, because she pissed off a black woman.
Yeah, because I was on my way to work listening to the Ricky Smiley Show this morning, and they had touched on the subject, because people still talking about it, and they were saying that Paula is highly pissed off. And, you know, they were saying about some of the roles that she did with her movies, but I'm just like, this is completely different. This was a performance, and this is in front of, you know, this is on national TV. This is in front of everybody. This is not the same as a movie role. This is not, she's getting paid to do this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And
I don't think the difference is that it was on national television. I think the difference was that it was not planned. There wasn't pre-permission.
Right.
Everything I've seen in the interviews before the VMAs was him saying that she's no longer Hannah Montana and she's grown up. This is before the performance. But so they had to have had a rehearsal and a dress rehearsal, because even the little bit I saw,
that
they
Ryan
were interviewing him.
That Ryan looks pretty spontaneous to me. But you can scream that
she's
grown.
I'm sure she took it to a different level than she did in a dress rehearsal. But
that's what
if you're on stage and you're performing, I don't see you, like, stopping and going, whoa, hold up. You got to go with the bit, you know, even
that
whole.
I know that they could not have rehearsed that foam finger.
No,
because
not.
Had
yeah,
they,
I don't, yeah, exactly.
They would have been like, Miley, no.
Yeah,
that was a little too,
that level,
was a little
I'm sure.
Too, you need to, you, matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there's a YouTube video on it. I need you to check that out, and you will see how raunchy that was. I've never seen
it. Yeah, I've seen the video, yeah.
Okay.
With you. But what I'm saying is I'm sure they rehearsed it, you know, that she was going to be out there, but I don't think even he was expecting her to go that far out there. But at the point that she went there, he couldn't, since it was on stage and live, whatever, he couldn't, like, say, whoa, hold up, stop, what are you doing?
Wait
you
a
know,
minute, why not?
You know
bit.
What, he, nuh-uh,
why
uh-huh.
not?
He could have backed up.
Yeah,
he
could have moved to the side and did his one little move he's got. And he put his hand above her butt like he was going to grab it.
But there's nothing to grab.
But
what?
You know what I mean?
Nothing to grab.
Like spank. Like spank.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
right.
I mean, like, it's really nothing to grab.
No, absolutely nothing.
Right.
They
know what I mean. I think there's more at stake. You know, like I said, that's Paula's man. You know, she's been with him 20 years. That's her man.
Well, I'm sure they had a conversation in the car, and they're probably still having a conversation. But at the end of the day, those checks are still coming in for the album, and I don't think they're going to be real mad about it going forward. Now, if there's a picture of him coming out of a limousine with Miley Cyrus in a couple of weeks, then we're going to have repercussions and circumstances. But to get to flow back to the state of black music today and hip-hop today and where music is today, one of the things that bothered me is I'm watching the news today and they're talking about Taylor Swift.
Why?
And her whole deal for the VMAs. And somebody, please, explain to me, why is Taylor Swift?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. And this is a discussion that I had with my best friend whose daughter loves Taylor Swift. When Taylor Swift hit, and she was singing songs out of a 15-year-old girl's diary. And that's why all these people went crazy. But my problem with Taylor Swift is she's 22 and she's still singing about her 15-year-old diary. Plus, everybody she dates ends up in one of her songs.
Exactly.
So, I don't understand the Taylor Swift shine anymore.
I didn't understand it from jump, but what really bothers me is, why would you date this trick? Why would you allow yourself to get involved with her, knowing the whole thing's going to end up on a song, and she's going to make money off of it and get an award for it? And I agree with you. Yeah, you should be done with putting your relationships in songs. But to me, it seems like, I'm going to date Taylor Swift so I can be in a song, because that's the only reason you would date Taylor Swift, so you could be in a song.
But if you listen to Robin Thicke's music, he puts all of their business in his songs. He puts all his business in his songs.
But it's not all about a breakup and how you hurt me.
Yeah, but some of his songs are about, times when they had split up or had fights, when he was dealing with his drug addiction. I just think maybe the difference is his are more relatable as an adult. As a 25-year-old woman, I can't relate to Taylor Swift anymore.
Well, that's why we have a young perspective on the line with us this evening.
No, I really can't relate either. No, because, see, I'm a huge music connoisseur. I grew up in a house where my dad played music 24/7, from the Isley Brothers to Teddy Pendergrass. So when I tell you that I've noticed that music has changed, it's changed, but I also know that some of my favorite songs have come from people who put pure emotion and it's been pure experience. So I'm not faulting her for doing that, but for her to sit there and when she said it, she was like, I appreciate you because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been able to write the song. And I'm just looking and I'm like, I was just like, okay, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's what they're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. That's what she said. But she doesn't, the one thing, she doesn't name drop. So only her and that individual would know who she's talking about. So she's doing what any other artist would do. And, I mean, that song is catchy. I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In. I mean, it's very catchy because I hear it all the time every morning and I catch myself singing it. She got a hit. Yes, she did. She did that. And when she starts name dropping it, it's going to be a problem. She's not doing that. So only to
the fallout that I saw.
Yeah, but it's not exactly a blind item because I don't even know. I had never heard of this guy that she dated. But when the songs came out and they were like, what is his name? It begins with an S, doesn't it? Whoever he is. I knew when she was talking about John Mayer.
Well, this is the guy from the next generation of boy bands. In what, One Way, In Way, Some Way?
One Direction.
Yeah, One Erection.
My 10-year-old gags when a One Direction song comes on.
Not
but, we touched upon it. I mean, I've complained before, and, you have to take my feminist card away because I've listened to these rap songs, and I'm putting rap in air quotes, and I long for the day when they're talking about shooting police, getting high, and slapping my bitch up because this crap, half of the rap songs are about dances, the other half – I call Lil Wayne James Brown only because I can't understand what the hell he's saying.
Okay, so
definitely, you feel, because you feel where I'm coming from, because.
Yeah, I'm
an
old head.
Me being a female, okay, I'm not, I like R&B, that's okay, but I'm a huge rap head. So when I talk to the younger generation now about the rap, they look at me like I'm stupid, and I tell them, your rap is nothing. It has no, it's not even rap. It completely,
it's not even rap.
It discredits hip-hop. So when Kendrick Lamar, and I'm going to go to him, when Kendrick Lamar dropped the verse that he did, I was ecstatic. I was like, this is what we need. This is what we're looking for. This is
I had never even heard of him before this controversy a couple weeks ago. So I listened to the song, and I was like, okay, this is LL and Kumo D all over again. This is, you know.
I don't know who you guys are talking about.
This is a lyric battle, you know.
Exactly. He lyrically assassinated the game. He really did.
Lyrically.
And lyrically, he really did that. And everybody's like, oh, it's just a lyric. Okay, it's just a lyric, but it took damn near years for somebody to come out and say, you know what, forget this. I'm going to do what I came here to do. And that's what he did. He did that. Got Drake looking
silly. I don't even understand. I don't even understand how Drake and the word rap are in the same sentence. And see, I grew up with a clear delineation between rap and hip-hop. To me, hip-hop had more of a jazz influence. It had more of a political message. You know,
yeah.
Tribe Called Quest, X-Clan, Brand Nubian,
right.
KRS-One, EPMD, stuff like that. You know,
exactly.
Then the West Coast, you know, Snoop and Ice Cube and
Tupac.
To a lesser extent.
Can't forget him, Tupac, you know.
And Tupac. And I'm not a Tupac fan, but yes, you know, West Coast was more of rap to me, and East Coast was more of hip-hop to me. That's just how it broke up. But, you know, it drives me crazy. And what else drives me crazy is the media. Every single time Chris Brown is in the news, they call him the rapper, Chris Brown. Chris Brown ain't no rapper.
No, that's not what he originated as.
You know, and it's just, Please, somebody dig up Kumo D, dig up Big Daddy Kane, you know, Heavy D, God rest his soul. Somebody dig up Heavy D, huh? Right. Somebody please find Kumo D and let him come out. Please. I can't anymore. I can't.
See, since I'm a little bit older, to me, the whole thing changed when women stopped. When women start becoming bitches and hoes, and I, that's when hip hop changed for me, and I don't really listen to it that much anymore. Hip hop rap that's out today, because I'm gonna go back even further than you all. I remember Sugar Hill Gang, and to me that was when rap was fun, and you know the whole gangster rap and East Coast v West Coast. I didn't get into that. I liked.
I even like early Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes was my boy. But I blame gangsta rap, if you will, for the influx of bitches and hoes. But I grew up, you know, that's what I grew up listening to. You know? And I remember the controversy over Too Short. You listen to Too Short now and you're like, well, this is no different than what they're saying every other place. And I miss the hardcore female MCs. MC Light, Queen Latifah. Never got into Roxanne so much. Yo-Yo, loved Yo-Yo. Gone. You know, this. Even Little Kim when she was at her height. But this shit that Nicki Minaj is doing? Mm-mm.
Oh, no. See, you should have heard Nicki Minaj underground before she went mainstream. Nicki Minaj underground is what I loved. Her mainstream, don't know what the hell that is. Don't know what it is.
I don't know which Nicki
Minaj
is. She
lost completely. She completely lost it when she went mainstream.
Yeah, I saw her perform. Was it the VMAs last year or something where she came out and she, this whole anti-priest, re, religion thing she went, she did.
That might have been the Grammys, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm like, what the hell is this woman?
Well, she's even changed her image up now. She no longer does that. But as far as her music wise, it's just she lost me completely. Like ever since she's hit mainstream, I have not bought a single album of hers since she's
Moni
come
Love.
From Africa.
Moni in the Middle. Where's she at?
Oh,
Love. Moni Love.
Criss Cross.
Oh wow,
I mean, if we're going to talk about the state of black music, I mean, for me, I'm the same age. Oh God, I'm telling the truth. Oh, I can't even say it. I'm 43. So
again,
when TLC hit,
the underwear I have on is older than you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's nasty.
Right. But, you know, TLC spoke to me. I was the same age, 20, 21, and they're coming out. You know, I'm in college. They weren't in college. But we're the same age, and we're going through the same thing at the same time. Even Mary J., her experiences were a little more urban than my experiences were, but I still could relate to discovering who you are as a woman, and that meant, you know, sex. When TLC came out with Ain't Too Proud to Beg, that was scandalous. But that's what we as 20-year-old women were going through. I honestly don't listen to a lot of Jay's music, but I cannot, from what I've heard, find one female artist or female group that speaks to the youth of today. I don't understand Rihanna. I think that Umbrella song is the dumbest song ever written. I get her exploration, how she's pushing the envelope, and, you know, when she did Darling Nikki on stage, you know, I got all of that. But who does she speak to? Who?
Even in
Vogue. In Vogue was the classy version, but they still spoke to, you know, Runaway, Can't Let Go, Runaway Love, Can't Let Go. You know, I mean, it was really things that the women in that age group could relate to, and sometimes older women, you know. Even listening to their songs now, I can look back in my life and go, oh, I remember my Runaway Love. Wow. Today, there's nothing out there that I can relate to. Nothing.
And, you know, and if you can relate to it, they are really, they really don't get a lot of recognition. And I can say that because there's quite a few of my favorite artists, you know, via R&B wise, that really do not get the recognition that they deserve. Like some of the male, like you got Tank, wonderful artist. His music is so good and so, like, it comes from the heart of a man. Then you got Jagged Edge. They've never really gotten the recognition that they deserve. Who else do you have?
Vivian Green. I love Neo Soul, Vivian Green. One breakout is Erykah Badu and Jill Scott.
Right.
I love Kindred Family. You know, Algebra. Love Algebra. There's
Don't you mean Algero?
No.
No,
I
like
believe
Algero,
it's pronounced Algero.
No.
Not Algero.
No, I just like Algero. But there's a female singer named Algebra, and she check her out.
I'm going to pull an old person card on you because I never heard of Algebra, but I heard of Algero. And I remember distinctly when Jill Scott came out, I thought people were talking about Gil Scott. Like, you guys.
Go to YouTube.
Gil Scott.
Go to Algebra and play and look up this song called At This Time. I love that song. It's very simple. It's pared down. And she's talking about at this time, she is so into this man. Can't nobody do nothing. Can't nobody tell her nothing. And it doesn't have a bunch of sexually explicit language. It's not nasty. It's pure. And I love it. I love Heather. Headley, or is it Headley? You know what I'm talking about.
It's Headley.
That's all he is on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love He Is. That song is about this man that she's with is her everything.
India Irie, I'm Ready for Love.
Yeah.
That right there
India
is
Irie.
My joint. Yes. She's
and you
she
know
doesn't
what?
Get the recognition either.
My India Irie joints are her dedication to Stevie Wonder. I love Brown Skin. I play I Am Not My Hair for my girls all the time. Upliftment. But they're not she's not on the radio.
Nope. And it all
and
has to do
and Erykah Badu, as crazy as she acts, that's my girl. And speaking of crazy, you know, Lauryn Hill, the miseducation of Lauryn Hill is 15 years old today.
Get out of here. That's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Of all time.
And the only
where, it's right up there with Asia and Off the Wall as far as best albums of all time.
15 years later, I cannot listen to Zion without crying because I think of my child. Of The Sweetest Thing? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. I can listen. I was listening to The Sweetest Thing this morning.
We could discuss music and the state of black music all night long, but I do want to segue this into what is going on in the world today, which I think it's important that we talk about Syria and how Syria, this situation
is
about to become.
This is
now,
the offense.
I think if they really want to stop all of this, maybe they should have Syria date Taylor Swift. I'm just thinking.
You're so stupid.
That
why?
You're so stupid.
After a couple
I don't
months
want,
with Taylor Swift, they'll go into a shell.
You know what? I don't want another war. I don't want another incursion. At the same time, seeing those people dead from nerve gas, especially those children, is killing me. But why do we being America, why does the world look at us to go in there and kick somebody's ass? Why is it always us? You know, I have a friend whose brother is just now, in a month, being sent to Afghanistan for his third or fourth tour. Why? Why? Why are we sending people in? You know, and I know they're saying that, you know, they want to do Syria as drones and stuff. But you know what? Why do we have to do it? I'm using air quotes on war. I'm war weary. I feel for those people. I feel for those babies. But I don't want us put in harm's way again. I don't want us always in the middle of the shit going on in the Middle East.
Well, yeah, and the whole thing is oil-based.
The French,
really? The French?
Well, you know, the Canadians, I don't care. Yes, I know what
okay.
I just said.
The French lost the war to Greenpeace, so they're not going to be of any help. And
I know, but again.
In Canada, Canada's army is about 19 guys with pea shooters because as long as they are living above the United States, nobody's going to mess with them.
No, I understand the lunacy of what I just said. I understand that. But, you know, I mean, they're interviewing the survivors and stuff, and they had this one little girl who's like 11, and she's like, you know, Obama, where are you? If my family dies, it's your fault. And I know it's out of the mouths of babes, but still, I can't.
I really just believe that a lot of it is propaganda. I'm not doubting or disputing that any chemical weapons were used. I'm not disputing that at all. But this reminds me of the build-up for the first Iraq war where, you know, America was deceived. We were literally deceived, not just on a small scale, but a large scale, when the first George Bush administration brought people in to speak before Congress who were actors. You know, there was a woman who a young girl who testified before Congress that Iraqi soldiers came into the hospital and snatched babies out of incubators and threw them on the floor while she was, you know, working in the hospital. And come to find out, she was really like a niece of the ambassador to the United States for one of the countries that Saddam was threatening, and she had nothing to do with what was going on. She was brought up there as act so they could get drum up the energy and the sympathy to go to war. But I honestly think all of this has been exacerbated by certain factions in the Middle East to get the United States to stay in the region, to keep influence in the region, therefore weakening our position in that whole region from not to say a publicity standpoint, but from just our standing, how we are perceived in the region. And I fear, well, I don't want to say I fear, what I want to see is how the Republicans and the right wing handle this, because ever since it was mentioned that Syria had chemical weapons, the Republican, that warmongering, you know, Republican wing of the Republican Party has been calling for us to intervene, to send troops. We've got to, you know, and now that Obama is going to do that, possibly, I wonder how they're going to react.
Well, all you have to do is listen to John McCain.
Yeah, but is John McCain, okay, we know John McCain is going to be saying, finally, thank you, we need to go in. But then all these people who are so quick to criticize Obama for not being strong on foreign policy, once he goes in, will these be the same people who will turn around and say, we shouldn't be in this war, we shouldn't be sending
troops? Yes.
Which, from what it seems to me, he's going to do the Bill Clinton thing and keep ships, you know, a safe distance away from the shoreline and send missiles over and just, you know, drop munitions on factories and stuff. But I think it sets a dangerous – it's not even setting a dangerous precedent. The precedent has been set years ago with the first Gulf War and this Gulf War. But my fear is we will never be able to step out of the Gulf region and not be the world police, as you were trying to say, Kamal. I think we'll always be there. We've been there since – the 50s, and we'll never leave. America will never leave the region. As long as oil is flowing and America needs oil.
There's one thing to leave the region, and there's another thing to be in the region and constantly in the middle of shit. You know, just because you're there don't mean you have to be doing something.
That's true.
But you know, the oil companies, they're not nationalized, and to keep them from being nationalized, the American military will always have to be there to protect the big oil companies, which could probably afford their own military at this point, but we will always be there, so we're always going to be in the middle of shit. Sad to say.
Yeah, but even then, it doesn't have to be in the middle of an incursion.
No, I don't think we're going to be encouraging. I think we're just going to be shooting missiles and drop, you know, heavy amounts of munitions on them. And keep it moving. I don't see boots on the ground. I really don't see boots on the ground. I just see, you know, it's going to be like, and Vanessa, I don't know how you grew up. I don't know you. I know how Kamal grew up to a degree from listening to the lies she's told about her mama, who I think is the sweetest woman on the planet. But I think this is like that when you didn't get a whooping, your mama threw a shoe, and the shoe went from the living room where she was down the hallway into your door in your bedroom and hit you upside the head when you were sitting behind three other people when you were playing too loud. She told you to shut up. This is what's going to be. America's going to throw a shoe, and America's shoes are cruise missiles and bombs from planes way up high. I don't see boots on the ground or real spanking happen. I just see some shoes being thrown.
I remember my mom talking to me when I was a kid. I mean, I remember this conversation vividly, and I was like 7 or 8. And she said then, God is my witness, you know, we can't keep going over there and telling those people how to live their lives. And I think this was like around the hostage situation in 79, 80. And wiser words were never said, you know, and I'm sad that 30 some odd years later, my mom's words still ring true, you know, and I understand what kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't. But the way I look at it, I think even if it means God help me, I'm going to be paying $5 a gallon, leave them alone, you know, let them kill each other. Let them fight it out. They've probably been fighting for 3,000 years. I'm out.
Well, if they were just fighting amongst themselves and the oil wells would be fine, I think that wouldn't be a problem. But when instability happens in the region, then it gets cranky and scary. Who's going to be controlling the oil? And as the movie said, you know, the book and the movie, Dune said, the spice must flow, and they're going to keep the spice flowing. And America has to be there to intervene to try to be that Jesus be a fence and keep people
but
from
again,
taking over the oil.
Why us? It's not like we're the only ones on this planet that use gas. China uses more gas than we do.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
But you know what? Right now, on a global scale, there are only two nationalized militaries that can project power. And those two militaries are United States and China. And China has enough resources and enough influence that they don't need to step out there. They weren't out there early like the United States was, so they're not interested. Now, if some stuff sets off in Hong Kong or Japan, if North Korea really loses their mind and starts pointing shit north instead of south, you'll see China step up. But right now, they aren't concerned. But let me wrap up with this thought. When you're looking at what's going on in Syria and America looking like it's getting its war degree ready again, we're getting our war face on. And again, even with the state of music today and what's happening in music today, the fact that tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, I have to go back to the episode of the Boondocks, and I think if Martin Luther King were here today, he would be highly disappointed in the progress that we made to the level that we've made it. We've come so far to have gone nowhere. Here it is, 50 years later, America still going to war in foreign countries for reasons that are not clear and aren't about protecting Americans itself.
Black unemployment is still disproportionately high.
Disproportionately high. Opportunity is still disproportionate in how it's available in this country. And, yeah, we have a black president. And, yes, things are better to a certain level. But we're not there yet. we're definitely not there yet. And being that I was all of one, barely, and at this point 50 years ago, I remember a lot, 67, 68, 69, 70, how things were. Vanessa, I don't know what year you were born. We definitely have to have Donald Trump find Kamala's birth certificate so we can find out exactly when she was born. But
I was in 1988.
Right, okay. Again.
No, I'm an 80s baby. I'm the only official one on the line that's an 80s baby. I was born in 1980.
Okay, so again, born the year I graduated from high school. Well,
oh, you would have to rub it in, but I'm still 33, though. I'm not a baby.
Okay, that helps me. Thank you. I'm old as dirt. Thank you. But, but do you feel that where we are today, I mean, what you went through in the 80s is not what I went through in the 60s and 70s. Not what Kamal went through in whatever decade she went through it, because, you know, we're never going to figure this out.
The 90s and the aughts. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Whatever year it is, subtract 25. It's very easy to do. So next year when you ask me this question, I will tell you I was born in 1989.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, do you think the state of race relations as it in relation to what Martin Luther King's dream was, do you think we're where we need to be?
No. Nowhere near it. We're not going to get there until we change our mind frame. I always like to refer to the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
He put it out there, and it's still into effect. It's still there. To this day, we still have major issues with the hatred towards one another, the hatred towards our own race, the black-on-black crime. It still exists. We as people have to start thinking outside of the box, change our mind frame, and stop thinking the same way. Until that stops, it's never going to go anywhere. We're going to remain stagnant. And I can say that because I've dealt with it from both aspects. Me being interracial, I've seen it from both aspects, and it hasn't changed since I've been a little girl, and it's sad.
It hasn't
it's
changed
still
since
the same.
You've been interracial?
Since I've been a little girl, it hasn't.
Since you've been
I've
interracial?
Dealt with, huh?
Since you've been interracial?
I said I'm interracial, and I've dealt with things. You heard what I said.
You heard it?
I know. I can't believe I'm repeating myself, but you heard what I said, and it hasn't changed. The same things that I deal with that I dealt with when I was little is what I'm dealing with as a grown woman. It's different now because I'm grown, and my parents raised me to have a strong mentality, so nothing affects me. I look at you like you're dumb, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to sway me either way it goes. I say I'm mixed. I don't say I'm black because I'm not fully black. If you walk in my house, my parents' house, you'll go home and you'll see a white woman sitting on the couch. I will never discredit.
Is she related to you, or is she just some white woman that's always sitting on your couch?
That's
you know what?
You're a dummy. You're a dummy. You know what?
I mean, these are questions I have to ask as one of the hosts of the show. I got to know. America wants to know. America wants to know that you want to come home, look on the couch, and go, Papa, who is this woman?
I'm so ignorant. Oh, my God.
Mary, when you broke my heart, that I had a daughter.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, America, this was an interesting show, fun show. Vanessa, thank you again for calling in. Kamal, please don't run over anybody else's children.
Where did that come from?
Because she a soccer mom. If somebody cut off her baby, Kamal would be rubbing her car and catching in the parking lot. You got to understand.
You know?
So, America, same time next week. Thank you for listening in. Kamal, love you. Vanessa, love you.